Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, January 24, 2022. This morning, I will talk about values. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Sovereign God, all praise and honor be to you, because you created all that is, was, or will ever be by your sovereign word and declared it to be good. Nothing in heaven or on earth can contend with you or harass us because of your almighty power and your creation of us in your image. We confess that we act as if we were orphans, not under your protection and grace. Forgive our arrogant and neglectful sin when we fall short of your will for our lives. Forgive us when we tarnish your image in ourselves and others. Forgive us when we focus on circumstances and forget your untarnished image. We give thanks for the many blessings that you have given us. Life, health, family, work to do, and the community of faith to sustain us. Thank you especially for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that allows us to approach your mercy seat with confidence. We lift up our families, communities, and country plagued with besetting sins and moral corruption. In the power of your Holy Spirit, cleanse our hearts and draw us back to you. May the cure not kill the patient. Teach us the discipline of obedient children that we might grow stronger every day in your image. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Genesis 1:1 we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The immense value of the human being arises from God's immense power. The observation that God created the heavens and the earth means that they belong to him by creative right. God's social position is second to none. Because God values human beings, their life has intrinsic value, value that does not change with circumstances, and that value is enormous. The concept of human rights arises from the intrinsic value of being created in the image of God. A tiny fraction of infinity is still infinite. The derivative value of human life arises in the biblical discussion of the death penalty. We read, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." This is Genesis 9:6. This implies that an attack on human beings is an attack on God himself, with explicit reference to the word icon used in Genesis 1:26 and 27. Taking human life is a sacrilege whose penalty is to forfeit your own life. Essentially, human life is sacred. The hedge placed around human life is similar to the hedge that Moses placed around Mount Sinai. We read, "And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up to the mountain, or even touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death." This is Exodus 19:12. This hedge is a consequence of God's holiness, because holy means both sacred and set apart. Like diamonds in a vault, we protect things of value. Why the high value of human life in Hebrew culture? We can only speculate for a nation composed of ex-slaves who would have been abused in every possible way, placing a high value on human life, and thereby inference condemning all sorts of abuse, would be a high priority. Abused people are often sensitive to being touched. The biblical taboo on sexual deviance and abuse is rooted in the historical experience of slavery. Reducing penalties in capital cases has the practical advantage of reducing the violence targeting police as they apprehend murderers and reducing the cost of conviction when prosecutors cut plea deals. It is also often argued that murder is a crime of passion or youthful indiscretion, where severe penalties provide no deterrent. However, this argument focuses on the individual perpetrator. Because almost all murder trials are highly publicized, the deterrent effect of a death penalty can be enormous when the whole community is considered. Setting aside the practical benefits of eliminating the death penalty, reducing the penalty for murder has the direct consequence of reducing the sacredness of human life. If murderers can negotiate their way to a reduced penalty, why not serial killers and mass murderers? This slippery slope is responsible for the increased social strife that we are now experiencing. Reducing the penalty for murder also violates the social contract that gave the civil authority the exclusive right to yield power. Police officers carry both a badge, that is a symbol of authority, and a gun, a symbol of power. Prior to the Enlightenment, blood vengeance and honor fights, such as dueling, were the norm. When judges are viewed as unfair or too lenient on murderers, people riot. The riots following police shootings raise the specter of this violated social contract. This is not a racial issue per se. The sacredness of human life requires justice. If the justice system employs market values rather than intrinsic values in determining penalties, then murderers will be punished according to the financial and social status of their victims. If you compare the Ten Commandments with other legal systems in the ancient Near East, they differ in having only one set of laws for everyone. The other systems embody one set of penalties for the aristocrats and another set for everybody else. Judges need no victim impact statements if life is sacred. Racial differences in penalties mirror this increased reliance on market rather than intrinsic values. Human rights, a concept based on intrinsic value, exist because we are created in the image of a holy God. If the sovereignty of God or his existence is questioned, then the sacredness of human life is diminished as we slide down the slippery slope. Milestones along the slippery slope include less concern for discrimination, injustice, abuse, mistreatment of prisoners, weapons of mass destruction, euthanasia, abortion, designer babies, and a host of other detestable practices. Shouting louder about any of these issues is a vain exercise if we disrespect God and forget that we are created in His image. Our capitalist society focuses not on intrinsic values but on market values. Market values change with volatile circumstances. Your market value as a person implicitly depends on your productivity. If you are young, old, or unable to work, then you are a dependent and a burden on working people. This focus on market value inherently disrespects God's image. When God is not honored, neither are we. The strong influence of market values on our self-image explains in part why depression rates tend to be the highest among population groups that are unable to work. The rate of depression, suicide, anxiety disorders, addictions, and divorce appear to be correlated with changing jobs prospects. Is it any wonder why elderly people become so depressed that they need to be medicated? As their physical and financial strength wanes, their mental state declines under the market value assessment. Economists value human life by asking questions like, "How much life insurance did you purchase?" This is a market value measure of self-worth. Market values go up and down. At age 25, I might buy only a little life insurance, while at age 40, I might buy considerably more. Circumstances change our assessment both of our perceived needs and self-worth. God's sovereignty is our sovereignty. While God's domain is the universe, our domain is our family, the church, and work in the community. In God's economy, we are sovereign in our domain, analogous to God's sovereignty in His domain. Our self-image should reflect this sovereignty, even though, in Christ, we yield it with humility, much like our Heavenly Father. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.